I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Amen. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh, he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God out of heaven, dressed as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Amen. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Amen. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Yes. Keep looking up, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is coming soon. What a wonderful, awesome God we serve. Amen. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. And what a wonderful day to come and worship him in the beauty of holiness. Now, Pastor mentioned that this week is, I'm celebrating all year. This week, Friday, exactly, on August the 12th, is my 90th birthday. And Pastor, I'll be preaching here when I'm 100. Mark it down. Have Stephanie mark it on the calendar. And by the way, August the 12th, Sunday, 10 years from now, 2032, is World Youth Sunday. And here comes a 100-year-old man to preach on World Youth Sunday. Well, I've used enough runaway. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible. By the way, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as you're finding your place there in the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, I would remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. Amen. And the Bible is right. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad it's settled right here on earth in this wonderful book we call the Bible? Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. Amen. I read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and one verse, and that'll be verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. Before I read, would you join me in prayer? Now, Father, how grateful we are for thy timeless word. We're grateful today for the cross of Christ. We're grateful for the salvation he provided through his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. And I ask that you'd speak to every heart in this place today and those who are tuned in other ways. Oh, may the Holy Spirit bring conviction to those who are without Christ. Could they be reminded that this may be the last message that they would ever hear, the last service they would ever attend? Who knows? Only thou dost know. Those who are saved, I pray that they would see a good thing about the Lord Jesus, perhaps they haven't seen before. May they get a good look at the cross today, where he suffered and bled and died for the sins of the whole world. May it be so, is our prayer. In Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. And the preaching, or for the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. What a wonderful song we sang. All of them were great, but Jesus saves. Jesus saved. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves. Amen. Jesus saves. Now, there are many kinds of preaching. I want you to note the title of my message. It's found in five words in my text that I read. And the five words are these: the preaching of the cross. Many kinds of preachers and many kinds of preaching styles in the 21st century. And sadly enough, much preaching in our day is only a pale copy of that which the preachers did in the first century. Preaching of the cross And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I've been doing for more than 71 years. The cross on which Jesus died. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Amen. Many preachers today are not willing to be labeled slaughterhouse preachers. They turn a blind eye to the verse of Scripture in Hebrews 9:22, which says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Apparently, they ignore what the Apostle Paul wrote in Hebrews 9, beginning at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of an heifer sprinkleth the unclean to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Some of the pulpits of America today are occupied by preachers who preach a variety of things. For example, there's the social preacher. He attempts to make the world a better place to live by improving social mannerisms and behavior patterns. That is not the preaching of the cross. Put an X by him. Then there's the philosophical preacher who appeals to the human intellect by mixing and intermingling some of the words of the Greek philosophers all through their messages. That is not the preaching of the cross. Put an X by him. Then there's a psychological preacher who accents the mental capacity of the brain in an attempt to bring about reformation. That is not the preaching of the cross. Amen. Put an X by him. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. This world is not going to be saved by preaching legislation or education or regulation or certification or speculation or reformation. Salvation comes only through regeneration. Amen. Expressly the new birth. Enter Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the cross is more than just a mere piece of jewelry that's worn around someone's neck. The cross is the centerpiece of Christianity, and the only ladder that's tall enough to reach heaven is in the shape of a cross. The cross is the hallmark of the Christian faith. Remove the cross from Christianity, and all you have is another dead religion. Sam Jones, the circuit riding Methodist preacher, said, the cross is the symbol of God's heartbreak over a world gone astray. John Newton, the converted drunkard, blasphemer, slave trader, wrote, oh, can it be upon a tree? The Savior died for me. My soul is thrilled. My heart is filled to think he died for me. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting better. the inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, wrote in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said, these are the four greatest words in the Bible. Christ died for us. Now, as I look back at the cross, I can see that it was at the cross that the grace of God turned a great tragedy into a greater triumph. At the cross, the sacrifices from Adam onward were all terminated in one supreme sacrifice. At the cross, Jesus became our substitute and died the death that we should have died. At the cross, Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. At the cross, Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. At the cross, Jesus paid our sin debt, not in part, but in whole. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. At the cross, Jesus suffered the curse of the Almighty God. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. At the cross, all human suffering finds refuge in the bleeding wounds of the Savior. At the cross, Satan was disarmed and sin met its conqueror. Amen. At the cross, the heel of the Savior bruise the head of the serpent. And I have to tell you, the serpent still has a monumental headache. Bruised by the heel of the Son of God. Yes. At the cross, the fires of Sinai were extinguished in the blood of Emmanuel. At the cross, the death sentence was commuted to life eternal. Jesus addresses that subject in John 5. Yeah, I go quoting Jesus already. I love to quote Jesus. You know that by now. 5:24 of John, he said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. From eternal death to eternal life. My unsaved friend, would you listen very carefully? I've got good news for you. At the cross, you can find forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and future. And you can have them washed away in the blood of God's sacrificial lamb. William Cooper wrote, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile is he, wash all my sins away. Amen. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the streams thy bleeding wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Oh, my friend, I'm bold enough to say to you that any doctrine that is not embedded in the blood-stained cross of Jesus Christ is a false doctrine. Amen. And is not worthy of being preached or believed. Right. I give you Paul's commentary from Galatians 1:8. Don't miss it. Paul wrote, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be destroyed. My friend, hear me. I hasten to tell you that the preaching of the cross today, 2022, is just as powerful, just as precious, just as perfect, just as pure, just as productive as it was the day that Peter preached it unto the Jews in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Or when Paul preached it to the Gentiles on Mars Hill in the city of Athens. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel has not changed, because the author of our faith has not changed. Amen. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. The blood of Jesus has never lost its power. Amen. We sing this power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Away with any preacher or any preaching that substitutes science or philosophy or psychology or education for the preaching of the cross. And so it is, ladies and gentlemen. We go on today preaching the cross. The cross, nothing more. The cross, nothing less. The cross, nothing else. I agree with what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My life's verse is Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Just what do we mean by preaching the cross? Do we mean going into the forest and cutting down a tree and fashioning it in the shape of a cross and setting it up on a hill somewhere, and analyzing what kind of wood it's made of, measuring its dimensions, determining how long it will withstand the elements, then proclaiming this tree to a lost, hell-bound generation, hungry for the truth? No, no, no. Absolutely not. Perish the thought. To preach the cross means to preach Christ. I remember years ago when I left home, my daddy preacher said to me, "Now, son, I'm going to give you three things. Number one, study the Bible. Number two, preach Jesus. And number three, stay close to the cross." Blind Fanny Crosby, who wrote over 8,000 hymns, wrote, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river." One of the early church fathers said, and I'm in agreement, "If the highest heavens were my pulpit, and all the world my parish, Jesus alone would be my text." You see, the preaching of the cross is delving into the reality of Christ's suffering. Please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say next. We speak often about the death of Christ, and so we should. Only by His death are we reconciled to God. But what about the pain, the agony, the anguish, the battering, the bruising, the bleeding that led to His death? Just how did He suffer? Stay tuned. The answer is forthcoming. He gave His head to be crowned with thorns. He gave His back to be lacerated by the Roman scourge until the entrails of His body came to the surface. He gave his side to be pierced with a Roman sword. He gave his hands and his feet to be nailed to the cross. Oh, by the way, I should tell you, he carried his cross weighing somewhere between 250 and 300 pounds toward the summit of Calvary until he fell under its load and they compelled Simon of Cyrene to bear it for him. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. For 6 long hours from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the cross, he suffered excruciating pain that led to his victorious cry that came through parching lips and a dehydrated body. It is finished. And thank God it is finished. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, there'll never be another cup of sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane. There will never be another humiliating experience in Pilate's hall. There will never be another legal trial by the Romans. There will never be another mocking crowd crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar." There will never be another riven side or a crown of thorns. There'll never be another piercing nail. There will never be another cruel, merciless scourging. Can I ask you a question? In your mind, in your thoughts, have you surveyed the cross lately? Isaac Watts wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, I count it all the richest loss. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, love and sorrow flowed down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath been made sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. Isaac Watts also penned these words, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of sin I owe. Here, Lord, to give myself away is all that I can do." Who did it, ladies and gentlemen? Who crucified the Prince of Life? Some say the Romans. Some say the Jews. Well, I stand before you on this August the 7th, 2022, to make a confession. I plead guilty. It was my sins that nailed him to the cross that day. I see the crowd in Pilate's hall. I mark their wrathful mien. Their shouts of crucify appall with blasphemy between. And of that howling multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that din of voices rude, I recognize my own. 'Twas I that nailed him to the tree. I shed the sacred blood. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Around the cross, the crowd I see mocking the sufferer's groan. But still my voice, it seems to me, as if I mocked alone. Please don't miss what Paul wrote in Hebrews 9:26. And here's what he wrote. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Mark that word once. Underscore it. Capitalize it. Analyze it. Publicize it. Advertise it. For you see, once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Paul wrote, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Please don't miss this. If you've missed everything else, the sole purpose of preaching the cross is to bring men and women to the point of believing. Believing what? I'll let Paul answer that from Romans chapter 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
One of the most imposing landmarks in the city of London, England, is the Charing Cross. It stands high above the hustle and bustle of the capital's busy streets. While visiting London a few years ago, I heard a legendary story about a small lad who was lost on the streets of the great city. A London bobby found him sitting at the curb, crying his heart out. And ladies and gentlemen, I was so moved by that story. Upon returning to our hotel room that night, I wrote a little poem that tells the little boy's story. In London town, a little lad was lost, wanting to find his way home at any cost. Said the bobby to the boy, "Where do you live?" But his address he could not give. His address he could not give. "Be there any place you recognize?" "Just one place," he replied, as he wiped his tear-filled eyes. "I feel so alone, but show me the cross, and I'll find my way home." Ladies and gentlemen, I know a story that's much better than that. There was a little lad who was lost in sin. He wanted to find his way, and a preacher showed him the way to Calvary's cross. He trusted the Savior. And he began his journey homeward. That little lad was Raymond Wesley Barber. That's been 79 years ago. I'm still headed toward home. I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this old world's on fire, you may know I've gone up higher from climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing and our heads are bowed. Hear me, my friend. Miss the way to fame and fortune and popularity and position. Miss the way to computer science. Miss the way to space travel. But don't miss the way to the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. You will never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross you miss. So our heads are bowed. We're not going to tarry long. I ask you if there would be someone this morning. Maybe you haven't found the way home yet because you haven't been to the cross. You haven't seen the cross. I've shown it to you this morning, the best I know how. And I bid you, if you miss all these others, don't miss the way of the cross. We're going to sing, after I pray, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." The altar's open. The invitation has begun. If God has spoken to your heart, I bid you come to Calvary. Come to the cross. Come to Christ. And you can find your way home. Father, we ask now that you'd speak to hearts. There be those without the Savior who've never seen the cross until this morning. Help them to step out and make public their confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and start the way home. In Jesus' name I pray.